This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good afternoon. You are tuned to 3CR, listening to Uprise Radio with your hosts. I am Zan.
And I am Koshin.
and this is Zan's first time paneling. It's thrilling. I feel like there's a lot going on, a lot of buttons, but I am in control, everyone. We are listening to a track from the Mogga Disco compilation titled Dancing Mogga Dishu. It's a collection of releases put out between 1972 and 1991 from Somalia. Analog Africa did this as their 29th release, and a lot of the tracks were from the cassette archives of Radio Mogadishu. Well worth checking out the rest of the compilation. There are some really good hits on there and some incredible album art. and chose this track because today we are talking about Somalia.
Somalia and Somaliland, the autonomous region / newly recognized country of Somaliland in the north of Somalia. We're going to discuss current events. If you haven't heard the news, recently the country of Israel recognized Somaliland as a legitimate state. They recognize it as an independent state, which is very controversial, as we will get into, because Somaliland is a region recognized by Somalia as a state of their own. It's a controversial shift in geopolitics. It has big ramifications. It is a potential flashpoint for conflict, and we thought it would be important to go over. Yeah.
Yep, there's a lot to talk about within 30 minutes, so hopefully we can give, some good reflections and talking points and questions, and by no means give a expansive or super in-depth coverage, but it's a very important issue to discuss and think about and learn more about. So even in the process of researching and learning about it, I thought it was important to learn a lot.
Mm. It's fascinating. I was in Somaliland last year. It's very interesting to be in a place that recognizes itself or declares itself as independent but isn't recognized. There are a lot of kind of interesting quirks that come along with that, in terms of currency and passports and borders. To begin the story, we will start in the early 19th century with, as most stories in Africa, colonization. The beginning of British Somaliland, which was the British colony up in the north, and the colonial borders between the different administrative zones are very important because they are the current borders and the current lines distinguishing the different claims between the different actors involved in this. So from the 19th century, Somalia was divided into different colonial partitions between Italian Somalia in the south, British Somalia in the north, French. Djibouti was colonized by the French, which has a Somali population, and there's a large Somali population in eastern Ethiopia in the Ogaden region and in north Kenya, which was Kenya also colonized by the British. Ethiopia not colonized. They like to remind you when you go to their museums. Then fast forward to 1960, Italian and British Somaliland become independent. They decolonize. And there's a brief window of time where they are two distinct polities. And Somaliland is recognized by about 35 countries in the UN as independent before unifying with Somalia, with Italian Somaliland and becoming Somalia. At this point they become a single entity, and it's mostly peaceful. There's skirmishes. There's a small war in 1964 between Ethiopia and Somalia. The Ogaden region, the Somali area within Ethiopia, is a constant flashpoint, a constant place where there's conflict between Ethiopia and Somalia. It's still a big thorn even today. So fast forward a little bit more to 1969. The government of Somalia is overthrown by Siad Barre, military coup. Siad Barre is a very important figure in Somali history. Really defines the next era of what comes to take place in Somalia. He ushers in his own theory of scientific socialism, and obviously in the era then becomes aligned with the Soviet Union. The Emperor Selassie of Rastafari fame in Ethiopia is then overthrown by the Derg, which is another military junta, and they are also aligned with the Soviets. And that's interesting only because you have two socialist neighbors in the middle of the Cold War, and then in 1977, war breaks out between them, which is the Ogaden War, the conflict between Somalia and Ethiopia. That is, yeah, I mean, massively important in the history of the area. This is the first time where going over all of this, there's going to be a few points where there's very contested history. So we are just going to basically lay out what is the claims of both sides, not necessarily declaring anything as absolute fact, but I guess the claim on the Somali side is that the Somali population in Ethiopia wanted to unify with Somalia. You had the Western Somali Liberation Front, is the name of the military movement that was in conflict with Ethiopia, and Somalia, the claim by Siad Barre was that he was just supporting that movement. The claim by Ethiopia is that it was that the Western Liberation Front was just the kind of, it was a ruse by Siad Barre to disguise his own military design, that it was just the Somali military. So there's a conflict there between Somalia and Ethiopia.
And also interesting to note, because there's so many shifting relations, that during 1964, the US was supporting Ethiopia against the Somali Republic, but then also by 1974, the Soviets are supporting Ethiopia.
Yes.
So yeah, there's like a lot of changes between how the Soviets are aligning both with Ethiopia and then how the US is positioning itself in regards to Ethiopia and Somalia.
Mm. Yeah, the Soviet bloc did not take kindly to the Ogaden War at all. It really isolated Somalia in the socialist world. Cuban soldiers even came down and were sent into Ethiopia to help defend Ethiopia. Ethiopia won the Ogaden War. They repelled the Somali forces, but it really did not resolve the underlying issues which still exist today.
Never does.
A lot of things funny that are never resolved. Yeah, they just kind of sit there. So yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of the conflict. That then these conflicts, yeah, the problem of the lack of resolution means that there's constantly this kind of simmering conflict in the area, which in the late 80s breaks out into a civil war, which within Somalia, which is extremely violent. Siad Barre had, part of his strategy for control within Somalia had been to utilize the clan system in Somalia. So to give a very, very quick summary, Somalia, or the region in Eastern Africa that is made up of Somali, the ethnic Somalis, which includes the ethnic Somalis within countries outside of Somalia, such as North Kenya and Eastern Ethiopia. That ethnic group breaks down further into clan divides, which, the family units, subgroups of the ethnicity that, were used by, Siad Barre used those different, clans and their different organizations for his own purposes. It was politically advantageous. But at the same time, by empowering the different clans, he created more autonomy within Somalia. So when the civil war really began, you had different areas and different clans that were very empowered and very autonomous. And in 1991, when Siad Barre was deposed, Somalia really broke down. the federal Somali system really broke down into a clan-based system. And it's at this point in 1991 that Somaliland declares independence and breaks away from the federal system and says that they are a state. But unlike in 1960, they are not recognized internationally by anyone. And that continued up until very recently. They had no recognition internationally. They were an autonomous region, which, yeah, much like Taiwan, who they have a very special relationship with. When I was in Somaliland, you become very aware of it very quickly. There are lots of Taiwanese flags everywhere. They've really tied their futures to Taiwan. They see Taiwan as... they see Taiwan's future and their futures as inherently tied together, that their recognitions will come together.
Mm. I think it's also interesting to note during that period, especially between... most of the 80s, the support that the US gave to the dictatorship with Barre in 1982, Barre visits Washington, and there's a lot of military support given by the US, as well as training as well to the military personnel. And so I feel like that is relevant to note given the relationship and ties now.
Mm. Yeah, and... The independence of Somaliland and its location to the north of... It's going to be... When we refer to Somalia in this episode, assume that we're talking about south of Somaliland. Or south Somalia. What was happening in the south of Somalia was... After independence, Somaliland was really insulated from. They didn't have to deal with the same consequences. There was conflict with the US, UN peacekeepers. There was a lot of conflict in the south of Somalia over the last three decades that Somaliland was really insulated from. Even if they had sort of smaller scale fighting, it hasn't been entirely peaceful. They have managed to stay a lot... They're a lot more stable than the south because they've been so insulated from so much of the fighting.
Mm. And I think one more thing to note is, I guess in terms of language and terminology, the period between 1987 and 1989, where 90% of Hargeisa, now the capital of Somaliland, was destroyed, has been, I guess... looked at through various people in the UN, and there's been a report that was put out by a commissioner. It was the 2001 United Nations investigation that concluded that the crime of genocide was conceived, planned, and perpetrated by the Somali government against the Isaac people. And so this is still part of the picture. It's by no means a finality, and it's by no means something that I feel like I personally... know enough about to make any moral or ethical claims, but I feel like it's important to note the language we use when talking about conflict and crimes.
Yeah, it's really important to note as well, because it goes to the legitimacy of the claim of independence. It's a big part of the independence movement in the north that the northern Somalis were subject to a genocide by the federal government. And that is, goes a long way to bolster efforts to be independent and to not be a part of the federal Somali system. And the fact that claim is disputed means that if you are from the south and you don't believe that there was a genocide, then why would you support independence? You would. The disputes over the war and the genocide are central to the independence movement in Somaliland and the legitimacy of it. To also point out that, like, even in Somaliland, there's a big divide over independence, and there's a big split on age as well. A lot of the older population much more in favor of independence. And there's a bit of a movement in the youth to the unionist movement to reunify with the federal government.
Mm. And so with this history, we're going to let you take 53 seconds to process while we play a sponsorship announcement. And then we're going to come back with looking at the present day, what is happening now with international recognition of Somaliland.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same.
I'm sick of the little boxes. Aren't you too? Do you want to live in nourishing green neighborhoods where we share and care for one another and our precious planet? Are you sick of greedy people gatekeeping better futures from the rest of us? Then listen to Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence every fortnight on a Friday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR with myself, Amy, and the wonderful people taking back their cities.
And they all look just the same.
All right, you are back listening to 3CR on Uprise Radio. And yes, we're now doing mid-show announcements, giving people context. Everyone be proud. We are talking about international recognition of Somaliland that has recently happened. And we just gave a recap of a bit of history and now are diving into the current events with what has been happening in the past few days. So, December 2025, it was a big move where Israel recognised Somaliland. And this was a move that has been condemned by several countries, such as Saudi Arabia, Palestine, China, Egypt, Kuwait, Iraq, Jordan, and Qatar, on grounds of it being illegal and threatening regional stability and Somalia's unity. And it's significant to note that following this, Taiwan has also publicly recognised Somaliland.
It's drawn a lot of condemnations, and I really have to think that if you were Somaliland, I cannot think of a more controversial first country to try to get recognition from than Israel. There's some geopolitical strategy to it. It's definitely very controversial and not the most strategic if you want to integrate into the wider Arab world, which Somaliland is positioned in that area.
Mm. And I think it's interesting to look at all the different, I guess, takes and opinions that different countries and foreign ministers have had. A lot of people, not just in the countries we listed before, but there was a joint statement issued by a group of 21 Arab, Islamic and African countries and organizations that all condemned Israel's recognition. And there were points made about how this move really entrenches unilateral and separatist measures. And the Palestinian Foreign Ministry warned that recognition of Somaliland or legitimizing secession undermines Somalia's stability and fits with Israel's broader efforts to destabilize regional and international peace.
Mm.
So I think it's interesting to think about the ways that this recognition could be destabilizing and why that could be done. And I think especially so considering that how other nations such as like the United States or China or Australia, given their relationships with Israel and their own stances on recognition, how they will be positioning themselves.
Mm. Yeah. And the thing that is still sort of unclear is the why on Israel's, what Israel gets out of this recognition. They've said that, that Somaliland will enter into the Abraham Accords, which is the plan for normalization across the Arab world with Israel. But what exactly the benefit is still isn't really clear. But there's theories, there's a lot of rumors. The two major ones are that this is a move to get closer military assets, that Israel could position a naval base in Somaliland for attacking the Houthis in Yemen. And the other major theory is, which was talked about a lot last year, was that Somaliland could be the location where there is mass displacement of Palestinians to, that Israel might be planning to ethnically cleanse Gaza and send Palestinians to Somaliland. That could be the destination.
Yeah. And those allegations, there were allegations made by Somalia's president, Hassan Sheikh Mohammed, who told Al Jazeera that Somaliland had accepted three conditions from Israel. And they were stated to be the resettlement of Palestinians, the establishment of a military base on the Gulf of Aden, and joining the Abraham Accords. And following this recognition, there's been no public statements regarding any development on this, and the Somaliland ministry has denied and rejected accusations that recognition by Israel was done in exchange for hosting Israeli military facilities and or the resettlement of displaced Palestinians. However, Netanyahu confirmed just this Tuesday that Somaliland would now be joining the Abraham Accords. So I think it's interesting to understand how this is going to align and position other nations, especially considering the United States and Australia still have things to say about it.
Yeah, and whether or not the US recognizes Somaliland is a major thing to look at in the future. There's been a huge uptick in racism towards Somalis within the US, coming from the Trump administration. Even he recently made a comment that all Somalis should get out of the US. This might be a part of that, could be a part of something else, some other kind of prelude to recognition of Somaliland,
which is incoherent to understand in line with the Abraham Accords and its vision of unification.
Yeah, its stated goals. Yeah,
versus what the actual outcome is, considering how America was really central in coming up with that.
Also the recognition of Somaliland as well. I mean, it's interesting because Somaliland's borders aren't even really clear. It's different regions within Somaliland have different positions. It's on unification versus independence. Somalia successfully got a chunk of eastern Somaliland to reunify last year. It'll be interesting to see what this looks like in the future. But Ethiopia 2 years ago was trying to get port access. Ethiopia has no access to the sea, and they were trying to get port access through Somaliland and trying to make a deal, which was extremely, not just controversial, but extremely dangerous. Really was. I mean, there was a point where it looked like people were positioning themselves militarily to fight over it. Israel throwing in their weight definitely doesn't bring down the temperature. It's only more likely now that that this could be a potential flashpoint. This could be a potential place of conflict in the near future.
And how language of like unity is very different to what kind of healing and justice might look like for communities of people, and the way that we talk about, secession and borders. There's a lot to think about, and a lot to be hopeful for, and a lot to be fearful of.
This is a Pan-Africanist podcast. Our official podcast.
That's
official,
the party line.
The official party line is that we are a Pan-Africanist. We want to see Africa become one country. It's really the only way to go, and that's all energy should go towards those efforts.
And on that note, that is the end of the show for this week. Didn't have time to play the other song, so you'll just have to sing one yourself in your head. But tune back next fortnight. We'll be back with more hot takes.
See you next time.
Bye.